All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and joining me on this episode, I have one of the newest talents at Rocky Mountain Pro, and that's Brad Orowski. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I can't complain. I got my diffuser going. I got some good essential oils going. I got some tea. I'm pretty much winding down the day. I can't complain. It's another day in the life, you know?
Well, that's fantastic. So, first question out of the chute. How did you get interested in to the wacky world of professional wrestling?
Oh, man. I love telling this story. So, ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I'd say, I used to love mimicking what my older brother did. And my brother's, he's 33 now and I'm 27. So, he was pretty older. And it's like, kind of when you're younger, you look up to your older siblings and everything and whatnot. And like wrestling was definitely the biggest takeaway for sure. So when we were kids, we used to go to our local video store. And I remember, I want to say this was during like the 95, like 94 era. And I remember, but very vaguely, like I remember watching Bret Hart, Undertaker, and like Doink the Clown. Like those were the top three. And I was dead terrified of Paul Bearer as a kid. Like anytime he came on the screen, I was like terrified. I had to leave the room. Like Undertaker was fine, but Paul Bearer, I don't know what it was about him, but he scared the living hell out of me. But now I look at him today, I'm like, this guy was a genius at what he did. But like you could tell, like just feeling those emotions that you're invested into something like that. So it was kind of on and off as a kid, because you know I'm the kid still discovering life and whatnot, still doing that today. And then I remember branching back into it around, I want to say, because like I lived through the Attitude Era too, and like I had, it was very restricted as a kid, of course. I mean, like you put that on today's television, like none of that would get by, like no way. And so I remember I used to try and watch it, and in my house, we had cable TV in my mother's room and downstairs, and my mom was always downstairs on like Mondays at 8 p.m., and I'm like, ugh. So I'd run up to her room, I'd lock myself in her room, and I'd catch as much as Monday Night Raw as I could. And, like, she'd be knocking on the door. I'd pretend I'd do my homework. Then I'd, like, that's when the TVs had the flashback or whatever you want to call it, where you could flip from, like, channel to channel. And she's like, what are you doing in there? I'm like, you know, nothing. And then she'd flash back and go to the wrestling channel. I'm like, no. Like, I'd get away with it for so long. And then eventually around, I want to say, like, 2002, this was, like, before the 2002 Royal Rumble, I remember seeing Rob Van Dam for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, who is this guy? He's like a real life ninja. And just like when he cut promos, he was so laid back, yet he's such educated feet and just like would whoop you in the ring in like the most like artistic way. And I was just like, all right, I'm already sold back into it. And this is like when the Ruthless Aggression was like era was about to surface. And like, that's when WCW and ECW got bought out. And like, I was so hooked onto it ever since from then. And then I just kept watching it ever since.
Well, that's fantastic. So, since you were, you know, really young when the Attitude Era was happening, did you understand all of it, or are you just pretty much like entertained by the character, the storylines, the over the top stuff that they were kind of doing?
I definitely didn't understand like too much of it, because it was very vulgar for my age at the time. But I remember doing the DX suck it in school and getting sent to the principal's office on numerous occasions, because I didn't know what that meant at all. I was like, oh, like why am I getting in trouble for this? Or of course when like Austin used to flip the bird and like all that stuff. And then like I was so invested into the Kane and Undertaker storyline when Kane first surfaced. Like there were so many things. And I remember playing the video games too for like Nintendo 64 when it was WWF, WrestleMania 2000, like WCW, NWO Revenge, WWF No Mercy, still like, my personal opinion, the best wrestling game to ever be created. And then, like, I would remember the characters from there, and then I watched it, like, oh my God, this is so crazy. And I think I was like, God, I had to be like 8 or 9 around that time. So it's like, overwhelming myself with this like crazy world was just like so stimulating. I want to say like the larger than life characters really grasped me more than anything, definitely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Who were like your favorites that you were really entertained by?
Oh man, that question's always rough. I usually do like 5 from the past and like 5 current day, but my 5 in the past, no specific order, were Rob Van Dam, Chris Benoit, Jeff Hardy, Eddie Guerrero, and then Chris Jericho. Yeah, very diverse, like, absolutely. I hated Triple H, especially when he had the 2003. Like, when when he got the world heavyweight title handed over to him, I was so mad, and he never would lose it either. I was just like, oh, I'm so infuriated. Like, and he had it for so long too. Like, there would be like small runs with like Sean and like Goldberg, and I think there was like one other person who beat him, but it was like only a couple months, and then he'd win it back. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why is he winning all the time? Like, I hated him as a kid.
That's great. So you really got hooked about what we call a lot of mid carders that got those little tiny runs, you know, on the upper echelon from time to time.
Because like RVD, he was probably easily one of the best mid carders like during that era, and I always rooted for him to win the world title, and he had like everything for it too, I thought. But I remember when he beat John Cena at ECW One Night Stand. I think that's like the craziest reaction I've ever done in my life. And like, unfortunately it was short lived because he got in some trouble, but I mean, that's on him. I didn't understand that. It was like, got it. Like 2006. How old was I then? I had to be like maybe 11 or 12 or maybe even 10 around that time. And I was like, he just won the belt. Like, why are you taking it away from him already? And then like, as I got older, I'm like, oh, there's wellness policies that you need to abide to. So it made a lot of sense. But yeah, I really loved a lot of the mid-carders. And then like, as soon as like Benoit and like Guerrero were like getting their runs too, especially Jeff Hardy too, like that was another guy who I was like, this guy really needs to win the world heavyweight title. And like, still one of my favorite matches is when he had that ladder match with The Undertaker and Raw in 2002. And like, oh my God, the story of that was just so incredible. Cause I believe like Jeff was like 23 or 24 at the time. Taker was wrestling his first ladder match ever. And I liked Taker at the time. I really liked his American like badass like gimmick and everything. But like, I was rooting for Jeff so hard. I was like, oh my God, if he wins the belt like on Raw, like this is going to be the craziest thing ever. And that's like, that was like one of the best like stories like ever that I saw like as a kid. And like at the end when like Taker raised his hand and like just gave him the respect, I was like, oh my God, like that was so incredible like to witness.
Yeah, that's very true. So now that and we're going to talk about this in just a moment. Now that you've gotten in the business and stuff like that, do you have any wrestlers that have kind of inspired or maybe kind of influenced you to step into that ring?
You know, I mean, like definitely a lot, especially a lot of like the not so larger guys. Cause like, I think like 10 years ago, if you weren't like 6'2", 220, you were not going to make it. And like, I'm nowhere near that at all. And so when I started to like progress more into the business, like, of course I was like a big WWE fan as a kid, but like, I mean, I'm originally from Chicago too. So we had like Ring of Honor come around all the time and like AAW and like all these other like little promotions with like such big names on there. Like, I remember going to Ring of Honor shows and seeing like Brian Danielson, Samoa Joe, and like all these guys, and I'm just like, oh my God, like there's so much more out there that I don't even know about. But I would say, like, looking up, like getting into the business, I definitely looked at like the smaller guys. Like Daniel Bryan's definitely like a person I'm really inspired by, like especially his like outside ring personality. Like he's like super big in environmental activism, and he really speaks like his voice too, and like he's phenomenal in the ring and just like everything he does too. And so I really appreciate him. Marty Scurll is probably my favorite all-time like present character. I think he has everything that needs to be a wrestler, from like the look to the psychology to his gimmick to his in-ring work to just everything down to a T. I remember seeing him at a Ring of Honor show, and I've never seen him in my life. I actually saw him versus Will Ospreay like 3 years ago, and it was absolutely insane. And I had no idea who either of them were either, because like I was just getting back in Ring of Honor, and my buddy just looked at me and was like, you better watch for both these guys. And as soon as Marty came out, Marty's entrance theme is so insane, especially hearing it live. It was just one of those moments where you immediately saw him. You're like, this guy's got like something amazing to him. And I don't know what it is, but I'm really into it. And then like ever since then, like he was another guy. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne are another big guys. I really like a lot of the UK wrestlers today, because I really like their style and how much like technical and catch-as-can wrestling and just like chain wrestling they get into. They're so creative with it, and it's just phenomenal to watch, especially like now being a wrestler and just observing that and seeing how they go into all of it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So then what transpired getting you interested to step in the ring yourself?
Oof. So that's always been a dream of mine since a kid. So I've always been like hesitant about it, because it's definitely a lot you have to like sacrifice and risk and everything. And I never want to live my life in regret or like what ifs. I never want to like grow old and be like, oh, I should have done this when I was younger, or like done this or anything like that. And I remember I was at the 2019 Royal Rumble in Arizona, and I was with like my core group who we go to like, we travel like to like pay-per-views and stuff and whatever. And my buddy and I, we were just watching. I think we were either TakeOver or the Rumble. It was either or. I want to say it was TakeOver. And I look at my friend, and he looks at me. I'm like, why the hell are we not doing this? He's like, what? I'm like, we're not. I'm like, we love this so much. Like, when it's clear as day that we do. I'm like, why don't we do something with the business? And he was like, what are you trying to say? I'm like, let's do wrestlers. And so actually, it's funny, too, because my buddy, he is at a freelance in Chicago as well, and he's killing it right now. And he started 2 months before I did, and he's already, like, getting booked on their shows and, like, expanding outward as well. And it's, like, so inspiring to see that. And it's, like, we followed through what we were going to say, and now it's, like, ever since starting in July and just seeing, like, where I am today. I mean, I still have a lot to learn. I'm not going to lie. I'm still, like, green as all hell, as they say in the business. But it's, like, I look at when I first started to, like, now and just, like, seeing how much knowledge I've built and how much opportunity I've been given and just the things I've done and so far. And it's just, it's so surreal, like stepping through that curtain and just like being in that ring and entertaining in front of people. I've only done it a handful of times, but like I've seen some pretty amazing things in this world, but it's like, there is no other feeling in the world than being out there and performing in front of all those people.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to take a step back. You mentioned that you have a group that you travel to a lot of pay-per-views how many guys have you done? Have you traveled to?
So far I've done WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. New Orleans is a blast with wrestling fans, especially because like Bourbon Street, it's literally taken over by wrestling fans. And like, it's so crazy too, because you'll meet a lot of wrestlers. Like I was at this, and like, I don't really party and drink too much, but I was like, it's WrestleMania weekend, like have some fun, right? So I remember at this one bar, I ran into Andrade, Aleister Black, Oney Lorcan, Drew McIntyre, like all these people. I'm like, these guys are just hanging out. Like, and they were all so friendly too. And like, whenever I meet a wrestler, I'm always very like nice and approachable. I don't want to like freak out. Like the little kid inside me wants to, but I'm like, hey, I just want to say I love your work and I appreciate everything you do in the ring, and kind of just leave it at that. If they want to like carry on a conversation, amazing. If not, that's all. I just want to like project to them. And so I did that. And like every pay-per-view we go to, we always do the takeovers before. And I love the takeovers. Like TakeOver New Orleans is still like one of my favorite things I've attended. I've done the 2019 Royal Rumble and TakeOver in Phoenix last year. I just did Survivor Series and War Games. God, War Games is so intense. Like, just seeing that live was, like, so surreal. There would be a day where I was like, oh, I'll definitely go there one day. But, like, having it in my hometown in Chicago, especially in front of the Chicago crowd, because the Chicago crowd is absolutely, like, nuts. They love wrestling. Mm-hmm. Such a big wrestling town. And just seeing War Games and just, I remember when Kevin Owens was the fourth member, I lost my mind. Like, the little kid inside of me was freaking out. But so far, I've done three of the big four. I got to do SummerSlam. I did All In and All Out. I've done Money in the Bank. And I think, yeah, that's it, actually. And I've done, like, a bunch of Raw, SmackDown, Ring of Honor shows, Progress, MLW, just a lot of shows. Like, when I was living in Chicago, like, literally there'd be something, like, almost every other week. It's absolutely insane how much, like, stuff we got out there.
Right, yeah, yeah, and... I went to All Out this past Labor Day weekend to All Out.
Oh, did
as well.
You really?
Yeah, I was there too. So,
no way! Oh my gosh! Yeah, that was so cool. That was so cool to see, and it was always refreshing just to look at it. Like, wow, this is a new product. Like, we get spoiled with. Like, I feel like it's so amazing to be a wrestling fan nowadays. Because, like, I'd say like 10 years ago, like we weren't. I mean, you look at the schedule nowadays, it's like Monday you have Raw, Tuesday you have NWA and Impact, Wednesday you have AEW and NXT, Thursday, I forgot what's on Thursday, I think it's something with New Japan, and then Friday, SmackDown. Like, literally 5 days of the week we have wrestling in some way, shape, or form. Like, that used to not be a thing.
Right, yeah. Well, and then you can fill, if you really wanted to, you could fill the rest of the days with all your independent promotions that are on the fight TVs, the YouTubes, the Twitch, like Rocky Mountain
Pro,
for example.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, yeah. And you have Rocky Mountain Pro on top of it, and so many other independent companies on Twitch and like so many other platforms. Like, it's so surreal, like how much like platforms and different like companies you could play around with and like so many new people you could discover. I think that's just like so amazing, especially like the technology that we're gifted with that today.
Yeah, definitely. That definitely makes you to be a fan of anybody, anywhere, anyhow.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been really big into NWA. I really like what they're going there. It's exactly like it was from back in the day. And it's so different, and it's only an hour, but it's like, they get so much good stuff in that 1 hour.
Right. Yeah. They're definitely hitting home runs with that product. So yeah. And, speaking of Rocky Mountain Pro, of course, we've got, Rocky Mountain Pro alumni, Royce Isaacs on that. So
yeah, I know. How crazy is that, right?
So cheap plug for Royce. It's always great to see how he's doing since he left being a regular at Rocky Mountain Pro. But, still get to see him come back to the Colorado area every few months. So that's always fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never crossed paths with Royce. I want to say he departed like a few months before I joined, I want to say, but heard great things about him. I mean, like, it's crazy, like, seeing him, and he's in Nick Aldis's group right now, and that's a pretty big deal, and I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. And, like, that gives me a lot of hope, because, like, honestly, in the end game of all this, I would love to go to NWA. I really like their style and just how they work, and I really like just how, like, simple it is in that 1 hour. It's just like, oh, I would love to be a part of that one day. Yeah. And, like, especially, like, at the Respect show, I met Thunder Rosa, and, God, she's such a sweetheart, but it's like she can like murder you with the snap of a finger. It's like you gotta watch out for those nice ones sometimes, man.
that is true. Yeah, I met her at just to plug a little bit, when she came up to Cactus League Wrestling up in Fort Collins, and I got to stay after the show, and I got to talk to her a little bit after the show. Yeah, she's definitely a little different than her character.
Yeah, like she was such a sweetheart. I was like, God, like, you are nothing like you are on TV. Like, this is so crazy. But it's like, I'm still gonna be nice to you, because I don't want a limb taken from me right now.
Yeah, that is true. All right, so let's talk about you getting into training. Your first day of training and your tryout and everything like that. How did that go?
Nerve-wracking, definitely. It's so crazy, because like I was telling you earlier, like, I always wanted to do this as a kid, and it's like that pinnacle was coming of the day, and I was like, okay, this is it. Like, I have to like prove what I am. And it's like, I've always been in like good shape and like good with my mind and my self-awareness of like just what to like benefit me into like moving forward with this and everything, and I had no idea what to expect at all. Like, I remember meeting Matt, excuse me, and Stevie back in April, just touring the school and just seeing it and like stepping in that ring, and like, I didn't even like bump or run the ropes. So I like felt it, and I'm like, this is like so surreal, just like feeling this and everything. And everything like seemed like too good to be true. And then like, I eventually just got up to the point where I was like, all right, I'm ready to try out. And so first tryout, there's a lot of bumps. And I was like, ooh, this ring doesn't tickle, that's for sure. Like, and then you learn how to take the bumps, and then like running the ropes, and like, I do a lot of strength training and yoga. Cardio is like a third language to me, if you will. But I remember running. God, it had to be like a minute, or at least over a minute. But I remember I was just dripping sweat and gas. But I was like, mind over matter. You're okay. This is going to be temporary pain. Like, you're good. Like, keep doing this. And so like the beginning of it, it was just like how many push-ups you could do in a minute, sit-ups, squats, et cetera, and then run the ropes, doing the bumps. And I was like, oh, there's so much, like, and like, you don't realize it, like, as you watch as like a fan, but God, there's so much footwork to wrestling. Like, there is so much footwork, and it's another thing. Like, literally, I think it's more mentally exhausting than it is physically, because you have to be so self-aware of where you are in the ring and with your opponent, and also being like in rhythm with your feet, because it's almost like a dance in a sense, but like, it's so, but again, like, you have to be like so smooth with the timing. Cause I think I worry about that more than actually getting hurt, you know? Cause if I think I'm going to get hurt, it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And so as soon as the conditioning was done, they're like, all right, like, just jump in with everybody. So I did like basic rolls and like lockups and like simple chain wrestling stuff. And like, pretty much that tryout was like, if you're in, you're in, if you're out, you're out. And then like, as soon as I was done, I just felt like so jubilant. I was like, I want to do this. Like, this seems so right. And like ever since, like, you're going to have like good days and bad days, just like every day in life, no matter what you do. But like ever since I started, like, I developed so many great relationships with everybody there. Again, so many opportunities, and just like Matt and like all the coaches are so skillful and just like are so accurate with breaking things down to like a T and how to do them. And I'm so happy. And it's crazy too, because I was going to move back to Chicago and was considering other schools, but like I'm too happy out here. Like I got out of Chicago for a reason. And so I found Rocky Mountain Pro, and I was like, God, we're spoiled here. Like, we have TV, like, we learn how to work on cameras and like do production and like other things too. It's like you learn so much more than just like wrestling itself as a whole. And I'm like so appreciated that I got to join this school and that I'm still a part of it today.
Yeah, totally. So far in the training process, any memorable moments in the trainings, and who have been doing most of your training, you know, teaching you and coaching you?
Yeah, definitely. Rolling my ankle, that was definitely a moment.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you live and learn. Like, this is a business where you're going to get hurt and you don't expect it. I'm actually icing my shoulder right now because I took an arm drag the wrong way. I actually have to go to the chiropractor tomorrow for that. But so yeah, we were doing a drill called 5 and 5. It's where you whip your opponent off the rope 5 times, reverse, drop down 5 times, leapfrog 5 times, and then, God, I forgot what the other thing was, but we were on the leapfrogs. And once you do the first 3, you're pretty tired after that. And like, especially from training for like, God, 2.5, 3 hours like prior to that. And so I was doing the leapfrogs, and I didn't have shooter shoes at this time. I was wearing my gym shoes. And so I jump up, and I tried like, and I didn't push off the person's back, and I tried like clearing it, and I went just boom, landed on my ankle. And I was like, no, because this was only like, God, 5 weeks in, I want to say. And I was like, I cannot get hurt right now. Like, this cannot happen. And so I rolled out to the ring, and like, I was able to move it thankfully, but I couldn't bend it in a certain way. I'm like, oh, it's sprained. I've sprained my ankle before. And then immediately woke up the next day. It was like the size of my ankle. The ball of my ankle was like the size of a softball. And I'm like, well, that's not a good sign, but that's a sign that it's sprained, so that's kind of good. So that was definitely a moment that I won't forget. And it healed up pretty quick, fortunately. And I still came in and, like, took notes because I was like, I just want to be, like, surrounded by this. This is what I want to do with my life.
Right, yeah. All right. So, you know, like you said, you've only had, like, a handful of matches or in-ring time or so like that. But so far, what have been some favorite moments that you've had in the ring? And I've got one that may or may not exist personally, but I'd like to hear what yours are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, man, I got to say the Pepsi Center. Like, it's so crazy how things come full circle in life, because when I joined, so I joined in July, and I figured in my head, I'm like, all right, like, get 6 months in. That's, like, good enough to, like, get into, like, a match, right? And then, like, after, like, 6 months after July is January. My birthday is January 4th. Ironically, we have the Pepsi Center event on January 4th. And I, like, go up to Matt. I'm like, Matt, what do I have to do to get on this show? Like, this is my 27th birthday. Like, and it's just, like, too surreal, like, that, like, all this falls into place. You know what I mean? And so, and it's funny too, because when we were doing a Royal Rumble, I'm like, literally, that is my favorite match to watch as a kid. And that's the first match I was in the Pepsi Center in front of like over 6,000 people. Like, honestly, not a lot of people can say that as their debut. And that's like, I stated before, like I am spoiled at Rocky Mountain Pro. We're spoiled. Like, we have so much opportunity. Like, God, just being at the Pepsi Center and like, and how nerve-wracking it was before going out. Like, I'm definitely going to feel that every time, but it's a good nervousness. Like, I'm usually, like, notorious for being, like, calm and laid back and everything, but it's, like, I like getting excited nervous because it gets me all amped up and, like, just jittery in a good way, and I'm just like, oh, like, I'm so worried. And then you go out and go on the curtain, and it's, like, everything's all good. You just go do your thing. So yeah, just I would say being there, and then like Filter choke slamming me out. God, that was wild.
Well, that was
like,
gonna, I was gonna say, yeah, everybody thought you died.
Yeah, basically, yeah, man, I thought I died myself. I'm not gonna lie, and I literally like looked up, and I'm like, oh, this is so real. Because, like, the Pepsi Center's huge. And I'm just, like, looking around. You could hear the crowd. And I was like, as soon as I came out and went to the ring, it was literally, like, a snap of the finger. And, like, one thing I do regret, though, is going after Big Guns, of all people, for the first. Because I remember I was giving him the forearms. He just looks at me. He's like, seriously? Puts me in the corner. Boom. Happy birthday, kid. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is real. And I had just welt marks on my chest for days after that.
That's fantastic. So the moment that I was going to ask you about, right around Halloween time or so, there was somebody that resembled and looked a lot like you in the ring, and you had a great opening moment, and I remember the opening pose, and both flip-flops came a-flying. So I wanted to ask you, do you know if that was planned or that just was a happy accident?
You know, it's funny because we were talking about, like, what we wanted to do, and the Joelberg thing came up. And it's funny because, like, I get – whenever, like, wrestling fans come up to me, like, oh, you look like Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's just, like, the laid-back personality or the hair. It's probably both, to be honest. Because I'm just like, yeah, I mean, like, that's cool. And I've actually met him before. I saw him at a Progress show. He's one of the most, like, down-to-earth. But he's literally his, like, gimmick. He is, like, one of the most down-to-earth people ever. And he's like, oh, bro. And just, like, it's funny, too. He kind of reminds me of Thunder Rosa. Like, he's super nice, but he has that, like, shoot background where it's like, if you get on his bad side, which I would assume is pretty hard, like, he will literally kill you. And it's so funny to, like, think about that. But, yeah, oh, my God. I remember, like, we were messaging stuff. And this is when, like, the whole, like, Riddle-Goldberg beef thing was going around. Like, Riddle was, like, saying some stuff. And Goldberg's like, who's this kid, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, what if we did Joelberg versus Matt Riddle? And so it just came about. And I had some booty shorts that a fellow Rocky Mountain pro friend gave to me. And, like, the costume wasn't hard. I mean, like, I had the hair. I had the NXT hat. I was like, okay, this is really easy to do. And then we just made something out of it. And that was really fun, too. I almost, like, totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and it was such, you know, personally, that was such a fun night because everybody got to, quote-unquote, let their hair down and just have fun with character that night.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I remember, like, sitting in the back and just watching. Like, when, like, Matt came out as a panda, like, I couldn't contain myself at all. Like, I was just like, are you serious? Like, this is so upsetting. Or, like, when Ronnie and Trina came out as cheerleaders, I was like, God, like, or, like, when Matt and Cody, like, literally just locked up the entire match, I was like, this is, like, the best show, like, ever. Like, we're just going out there and doing whatever we want. I mean, like, we usually have the opportunity to do whatever we want, but, like, this, like you said, this is, like, putting our hair down, like, no stress, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fantastic night. All right.
Excellent.
Yeah, so moving on from there, you have any favorite people you like being in the ring with, you know, either training or match-wise?
Oh, man. Honestly, like, as cheesy as it is, I really do love everybody at Rocky Mountain Pro, and I do want to face everybody, but if I were to pick, like, two right now, I would pick Mr. Bruce Waynes and Mr. Cody Devine, because Mr. Bruce Waynes, I mean, he's one of the most charismatic people in and out the ring I've ever met, and I bond with him, like, quite a bit every time I train with him. Like, he's seriously such a down-to-earth guy. Makes me laugh without even trying, like, every time. Like, if you're having a bad day, just go see him. He's got you. Like, he's got you. But there were actually these two promoters from Oregon and Vegas that came in, and there was a tryout. And it's funny because I was only about 4 months in at this time, and Matt's like, you're going to try out, right? And I just got really nervous. I was like, I don't know much, you know? He's like, just do what you were taught. I was like, and then everyone was very encouraging. They're like, yeah, just do it. Like, what do you got to lose? I'm like, you know what? You're right. And so we did the tryout, and, like, we had a practice match in the end. And, like, my practice match was with Bruce Waynes. And, God, he and I, we did really good. And, like, he made me look amazing. I made him look amazing. Like, the chemistry was just really there. It was good enough to the point where we have future bookings, actually, in Oregon and Vegas now, which is so surreal to me. That's actually another moment, like, at RMP where I will absolutely cherish, like, forever. Like, just the encouragement and having, like, those people who support you and want to see you achieve, like, push you to your uncomfortable zone. And I truly believe, like, getting out of your comfort zone is going to make you, like, a better person no matter what. And that was, like, a true defining moment of doing that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, so then, speaking of that, what's next for you? Getting some more matches, quote unquote, under your belt, looking into maybe travel to out of state promotions, some of the great connections that Rocky Mountain Pro has, with other promotions out of state, through the United Wrestling Network and so on. What do you have in your sights?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an open book, honestly, but I definitely want to like get my name in Rocky Mountain Pro because, again, I'm still very green and I still have a lot to learn. So that's an amazing place to be right now, and I'm gonna try as much as I can. I mean, like, I just got a couple social media accounts like with my character and everything, and I'm gonna start like making like reaching out to different promotions, and I have like some connections in Chicago as well, as long as like Arizona. And then I have like Oregon and Vegas under my belt too. My goal, actually, I made for myself is I would love to perform in 5 different states and 1 internationally by the end of the year. And I think that might be tangible, especially with like how like I shouldn't say how easy, but how accessible it is to reach out to a promotion and just show them your work. Because like we did a seminar not too long ago, and it was with D'Lo Brown, and he was just like pretty much saying like you guys have no idea how like hard it was back in the day, like sending out tapes and like finding out about these promotions where it's like now you can just go on Instagram and like hashtag like independent wrestling and be like, oh, there's a promotion in Michigan or like New York that I want to like send my stuff to. Like it's like I feel like I'm very spoiled in this generation to like really like throw my name out there and everybody else as well.
Yeah. All right. So that's great. Okay, and then so along the kind of the same lines, you have any dream matches of people you'd like to get into the ring with? And these can be anywhere, anyhow, anytime.
Ooh, oh, that's such a broad question. I would definitely like to wrestle just everybody at Rocky Mountain Pro, that's for sure. But if I had, there'd be 2 matches that I'd want to wrestle. Specifically, Marty Scurll versus myself, either at Madison Square Garden, the Tokyo Dome, or at Allstate Arena in Chicago. That's a very big one, but still, anything's possible in this world. And then I know Rob Van Dam is still active. And if I could somehow face the person that got me into wrestling, I would probably get murdered by him, but I would have no problem doing it. Like in any way, shape, or form, those two would definitely be my top guys that I would love to get in the ring with one of these days.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I would love to see that as well. All right. Well, Brad, I do want to thank you, and I do appreciate you coming on to this episode of Wrestling with Altitude. But before I do let you go, if people wanted to follow you on the social media, where could they do that?
So right now I just have an Instagram. I'm going to get Twitter and all the other ones in the works, but my Instagram is, it's all one word. It's the vibe of RNP.
Oh, that's very cool. I love it. All right. Okay. Well, once again, thank you for coming on. And of course, I'll be seeing you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, Artie. I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for having me on.
Once again, a big thank you to Brad Radrowski for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of the listeners. Catch him each time for Rocky Mountain Pro when they have their TV tapings and their other live events, such as at the end of the month at the Bierstadt Lagerhaus for the Rocky Mountain Pro Experience. All right, so no week in review because, as you guys may be catching on, we are clearing out everything that I have recorded here that is in the can. So no necessarily need to go over that again. So if you want to catch that, just back up 2 episodes and you'll be able to catch my week in review there. So speaking of that, so if you guys are a in the wrestling business in the area, just hit me up on either Facebook, Twitter, or podcast at wrestlingwithaltitude.com. Let me know if you're interested in coming on to the show. And let's get an interview done and let's talk about the most important thing, and that's you. Let me put you over, as they say, in the business. I'm willing to interview anybody and everybody. I want to put your story out. That's what I like to do here for the Wrestling with Altitude podcast, and that is our MO. That is what we are here and all about. All right, so what do I have in my view once again for this week, this weekend? And that is, of course, Rocky Mountain Pro having their tapings for Charged, the one that got rescheduled that was supposed to happen at the beginning of the month. And that's this Friday, February 21st, at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in the Quarry up in Golden, Colorado. You want to get tickets, head over to rmpwrestling.com. Bell time of 7 p.m. and doors open at 6:30. If you do buy your tickets ahead of time, you do save yourself a little bit of money because they will be more at the door, as they say. And then, of course, on Saturday, Devotion Championship Wrestling is having their Heartbreak Showdown. Doors at 6, bell at 7, wrestling at the Gateway, 1200 South, 400 West in Salt Lake City. Tickets are VIP 18, general admission 15 and 12 and under at $5. So if you guys are in the area or if you want to take a little trip, it's only a few hours away from the where I'm located in the Denver metro area of Colorado. It's probably about a 10 to 11 hour drive depending on how fast and how lead-footed they say you, as the saying goes. All right, well, before we get out of here, let's once again give a shout out to the Trending Topics Network. If you like this show, you can catch some other great shows, such as All Beer Inside, the Eurovision Showcase, Old School at the Movies, and Wrestling Cheers on their feed. So just look them up in your podcast catching application of your choosing. And if you want to get in contact with the show, just a reminder, facebook.com/wrestlingwithaltitude, Twitter handle of WrestleAltitude, website wrestlingwithaltitude.com, and email podcast@wrestlingwithaltitude.com. And always, I want to thank you for listening and having fun wrestling with altitude.